You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. This month marks the program's 10th anniversary on WPR. And as part of the celebration, here's producer Maureen McCollum sharing a story about a woman trying to improve the health of Milwaukee. It's part of an immigration project by Wisconsin Humanities. It's an organization that has partnered with Wisconsin Life for the past decade.
Cynthia Tejas Silva moved to the United States from Mexico on her 12th birthday. Her family eventually settled in Janesville, where she went to high school. Now, Tejas Silva works at 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee as the Healthy Schools Program Coordinator. Her long-term goal? To make the city healthier for everyone. Her story is being featured in the Wisconsin Humanities Traveling Exhibit, Immigrant Journeys from South of the Border. I recently caught up with Tejas Silva at South Shore Park in Milwaukee, where she told me more about her job.
So in my day-to-day job right now, I do a lot of different videos, and I've been taking on a special project called Explorando Milwaukee, or Exploring Milwaukee, that aims to highlight a lot of the different green areas, trails, hidden spots where people can go and either walk to or exercise in. Or simply have a picnic at, like, in South Shore Park.
Hola amigos, bienvenidos a Explorando Milwaukee. Y hoy nos encontramos en el Parque South Shore.
Then the other ones is really helping support the Latinos por la Salud Facebook page. It's a group that the clinic and our community supports. It's made out of residents. And they have been taking on a project of cooking and showing these recipes on our website.
El día de hoy les voy a preparar una deliciosa sopa de tortilla con ingredientes.
Also, walking clubs and biking clubs. I'm very fond of those because on Wednesdays I get to ride with a lot of teenagers, youth from the community who come and are just ready to ride along. So we've been discovering different senderos, different trails like the Kinikinik. Once I see people that I haven't seen there come, and then you see more people becoming aware of, like, oh, I didn't know this place was here, and I've been living here, like, my whole life. It's like, yeah, and, you know, and now I've been hearing some of these people speak Spanish a lot around me more than before, so I think that's a good sign that people are, you know, trying to get out there more.
Ahora sí, vamos a seguir con Jos Maria, disfrutando de la fiesta de aquí de Latinos por la Salud.
All of that to say that it's a very multi-dynamic job that I do, and I love it. It keeps me grounded, it keeps me in shape, which is great, and it keeps me healthy. So I always knew I wanted to be in a community health setting. I had a heart murmur when I was in high school. The only reason why I knew was because I had to get a physical done in order to join the soccer team, and there that was. And being in Janesville, I didn't see, like, another Latina woman, for example, like, talking to me or to my mom, explaining. I was like, okay, there's an exam that needs to be done. Okay, we got to get the exam. And I don't know what that exam is for, but so I think sometimes seeing the lack of explanation in some cases, and I think sometimes that includes, like, the language, it kind of made me aware of, hey, we need more people, you know, doing this. I think there's a lot of social change around us, and I said, what within my job or within my power, essentially, can I do to change systems? And how do we transform systems? I think my purpose is really to look at the health of a community or of the city. In this case, Milwaukee. I mean, I love Milwaukee. I'm very appreciative of everything that it has given me, but I also know that there's so much work to do. That's a dream job for me right now. And I think that has amplified my idea of what the health of the community looks like. Because now I'm not just looking at the community on the south side, but I'm looking at the whole city. And I think that has prompted me a little bit more thinking into, okay, what's next? I don't know. So, but I'm hopeful.
That was Cynthia Tejas Silva of Milwaukee. She's the Healthy Schools Program Coordinator at 16th Street Community Health Centers. Her story is also being featured in the Wisconsin Humanities exhibit, Immigrant Journeys from South of the Border. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And now to the life and times of the U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. His media interviews and public comments have been riddled with falsehoods, misinformation, and conspiracy theories. So what's his next move? Johnson says he won't run for governor next year, but hasn't pinned down whether he may run for Senate re-election. He pledged during his last campaign he wouldn't run again.
This will be my last term. I'll never vote my re-election mind because I'll never stand for re-election again.
He has since changed course. Here at the morning show, we periodically invite Senator Johnson to come on our program. And since the January 6th insurrection, we haven't been able to talk with him, but we do hope to have him on again soon. What do you make of Johnson's rhetoric, his votes, his statements? 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Senator Johnson is making national headlines this year. Lots of interview requests by local national outlets. How typical is this attention for him?
It seems like he's getting more national attention in the past few months than we've seen from him, you know, over, you know, his the previous years he's been in office. And I mean, it's easy to kind of fall trap into this recency bias where like you just pay attention to what's happening now and forget about what happened before. But especially since the election and more so since the January 6th insurrection, Senator Johnson has become kind of a vocal Republican senator on those issues in a way that you don't see other Republican senators doing. So, yeah, he's carving out kind of a niche for himself at the national level.
Last month, two Senate committees held a joint hearing on the Capitol insurrection, and Senator Johnson's remarks drew criticism because he read into the record an account published in a far-right publication called The Federalist. Here's some of that.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive. Of the thousands of people I passed or who passed me along Constitution Avenue, some were indignant and contemptuous of Congress, but not one appeared angry or incited to riot. Many of the marchers were families with small children. Many were elderly, overweight, or just plain tired or frail. Traits not typically attributed to the riot prone.
So what was going on there reading from this publication?
If you remember, this was one of the first big hearings in the Senate looking into what happened on January 6th. And so it was a chance for senators to kind of lay the foundation of what they wanted to look into, what they wanted to focus on. A lot of senators from both parties had very detail-oriented questions that they asked one after another to pin down people on what happened on January 6th, because you had people who were in law enforcement when the insurrection happened, they're testifying that day who could answer some of these questions. And so that's the context of where Senator Johnson read that remark, read those remarks. And he did use most of his testimony, you know, which was brief. He's a rank and file member of the Senate now. He had about 7 minutes to talk and ask questions. And he spent about four and a half of it reading from that piece. I think the other interesting thing about him reading from that piece is the piece, the author in that piece references these groups of people that he saw at the Trump rally, plainclothes militants, he says, agents provocateurs, quote, fake Trump protesters. And then he describes this disciplined uniform column of attackers. Johnson reads all those at this Senate committee. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't get to the part where the author says, I did not see these, quote, fake Trump protesters commit violence. It's in the article, mm-hmm. which is submitted for the record. But Johnson did not choose to cast the spotlight on that statement that day. So it's kind of a situation where he didn't say it exactly, but he led people to that place.
What have other members of Congress said about his comments about the insurrection?
Well, I mean, if you look at Democrats, they seem to be either frustrated with Johnson or kind of glad that he's taken on a more prominent role. Mm. I mean, Nancy Pelosi recently alluded to Senator Johnson taking kind of the lead for Republicans when it comes to this stuff. You know, she doesn't have to single him out there, but she made a choice to at a press conference. So it could be that she's comfortable with the party aligning with him from a political perspective. You hear other Democrats saying he's peddling conspiracies. You know, it's a more of a straightforward, kind of a frustrated take on Johnson from other Democrats that he serves with.
Let's look at the press in this. Steve from Sun Prairie called to comment that he thinks the news media is trying to paint Senator Johnson as out of touch, and that it looks like the news media is working for the Democratic Party. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, you have to view all of this stuff through the lens of the political world that we live in, and the fact that Ron Johnson would be up for election in 2022 if he chooses to seek a third term. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people out there who feel like what he's doing now signals that he is going to do that. And so I know Johnson has said that he feels like he said this definitely more forcefully than I ever heard him say in his previous years in office, that the, you know, the media is part of the problem here. Mm. I would say that he is saying stuff that the media necessarily has to write about. You know, mm-hmm. he's throwing this out there. He'll preface some of his more controversial statements by saying, this is going to get me in trouble, but, because he knows it's going to get attention, and it does. And so it's sort of a self-fulfilling cycle.
We're discussing the politics and the future of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. WPR's longtime Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is our guide. How do you feel about Senator Johnson's comments this year on the Capitol insurrection? Do you support what he's saying, or do you disagree? How did you react when Johnson delayed passage of President Biden's COVID relief bill and called it unnecessary? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Sean Johnson here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about Republican Senator Ron Johnson and what the future holds as he ratchets up conspiracy theories in recent months, downplays the severity of the Capitol insurrection, and in a Wall Street Journal opinion piece last week, points a finger at the left-wing agenda, who he says twisted his words and reflexively played the race card. WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in John now in Eau Claire. Hi, John. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been watching Senator Johnson since he came on the political scene. I've never met the man. He's not particularly articulate, but he's brave. I like the fact that he's not an attorney. I like the fact that he's a successful, self-made man. I like his bravery, and I like the fact that he is not afraid of the media. The media is largely coalesced around liberal Democrat principles, and he's not afraid to take them on. And I hope that he runs again or runs for governor. In either case, I would be very happy to support him.
John, thanks. And, you know, Sean, John calling him brave, it also reminds me, too, of what we've heard out of Wisconsin Republicans and specifically Sensenbrenner.
Yeah. And I mean, I think one of the lessons that Donald Trump learned or knew maybe instinctively in his run for president and then in his 4 years in office, or the formula that worked for him, is that sometimes picking the fight is the point. It's not what the fight is about necessarily. It's the fact that you are fighting, you know, that being kind of in this adversarial position all the time in these stories, calling out the media is, you know, probably with Senator Johnson's base is good for him. And so, you know, there's one school of thought that says, man, he's been in the news a lot lately. Wisconsin is a swing state. You know, this isn't going to appeal to independent voters. There's another school of thought that says it's definitely going to appeal to his base. And just because these stories have been critical of him, you know, he probably wears it as a bit of a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was called a maverick by Jim Sensenbrenner.
Yeah. And Sensenbrenner, this is in the New York Times piece. You know, Sensenbrenner did kind of draw this comparison to Senator McCarthy. So
Joe McCarthy.
You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I'm not sure how that came up in the conversation, but the quote from Jim Sensenbrenner, who knows Wisconsin politics, knows Wisconsin Republican politics and its evolution better than anybody. He says the Wisconsin voters love mavericks. They really love mavericks. You go way back to Joe McCarthy. Mm-hmm. They love people who rattle the cage an awful lot and bring up topics that maybe people don't want to talk about. So kind of describing what we just said there, you know, that rattling the cage is the point. It's not necessarily what the senator's talking about, but how he's talking about it.
Let's bring in Larry now in Kingston. Hi, Larry. What are your thoughts on Senator Johnson?
I think Senator Johnson represents the Republican Party 100%. They do not care about the least of us, the poor, the minorities. They spread hate. And look how wonderful Biden has been. He raised the poor children in this country out of poverty, or at least he's trying to. This is something that the Republican Party would never dream of trying to do.
Larry, thank you. Where does, you know, Johnson fit into the Republican Party?
I think he is sort of carving himself a little bit of a niche these days in terms of the overall Republican Party. I mean, he used to run, and he still talks about it, but he ran for Senate in 2010, just where he always talking about the deficit and government spending. Mm-hmm. And this has obviously branched out recently, maybe not recently, but it's certainly branched out now. And, you know, when I did a story about Senator Johnson a few weeks back and talked to national political observers, because we're kind of hyper-focused here in Wisconsin and maybe don't see the forest for the trees. But, you know, they brought up Senator Johnson's name alongside names like Senator Cruz of Texas, Senator Hawley of Missouri, people who kind of make it their living going on. You know, Fox News, conservative talk radio, and kind of making trouble a little bit, you know? The difference, I think, between them and Senator Johnson is they are, you know, laying the foundation for a potential 2024 bid for president, where Senator Johnson is weighing, run for Senate in Wisconsin in 2022.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the one after the other controversies involving Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson this year. We have WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson as our guide. Valerie is joining us from Rice Lake. Hi, Valerie. What is on your mind?
I've listened to Ron Johnson over the years, and he seems to be interested only in himself. He wants to be splashy headlines. He's not interested in progress and making America better.
Valerie, can you make some specifics there? What specifically have you found him not making progress on?
Well, for instance, on the instead of debating the Recovery Act, he threw out this request that the whole thing be read, and that took 12 hours,
mm-hmm.
Rather than debating it. That was just a slow it down tactic. It wasn't for making it progress or not progress. It was just to make it get his name in the news.
Valerie, thank you. And, you know, as Valerie said, Senator Johnson tried to slow down passage of President Biden's nearly $2 trillion COVID relief bill by having clerks read the whole bill. And, Sean, you know, late-night comedians ridicule Johnson. Here's Trevor Noah from The Daily Show.
Oh, that's my man, Ron Johnson, delaying desperately needed aid he knows is going to get passed anyway. And to all the hungry kids out there, be patient. Ron Johnson is making a symbolic point. You can eat tomorrow or maybe next week, whatever.
So, Sean, what was the point for Senator Johnson to delay passage?
I mean, it was a way of bringing attention to it. I think it's worth noting that years earlier, Johnson actually was critical of Senator Cruz for using, you know, similar delay tactics, not the same delay tactic, but, you know, this was like an obvious use of a parliamentary tactic to draw attention to his delay. And then he did, after that delay was done and they, you know, the clerk had to read the entire bill aloud, he did, offer a long list of amendments to the bill, which would have, taken out pretty much everything that we would recognize as the current relief bill that was signed into law by President Biden. So, you know, eventually there were substantive votes on it, but again, this was a way of drawing attention to his cause and himself. You know, it was not, I guess we could just stop there. I mean, it was obviously a way to get to bring attention to it, not a way to actually attempt to change the bill.
Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. Just ahead, we learn how to mentor kids amid the pandemic. We visit programs in Milwaukee and Oshkosh and learn how they're trying to help students academically and socially. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.